At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Talking running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel taking you around the NFL for the next hour. Some news and notes around the league. Scott, we saw Cam Ward yesterday have his pro day. He stepped up. He electrified. He wowed scouts. And potentially now, this is the solidified number one overall pick in the April 24th, 25th NFL draft, just about a month away.
Yeah, I would have been surprised, Joe, had he not been the number one. Listen, he could have thrown footballs 10 yards over the guy's head yesterday. And to me, he's still the clear-cut number one. I think he's that much more of a prospect than Sanders. Didn't like the fact he didn't throw at in the combines, but that's now the in thing where all these supposed superstar athletes, feel like that's beneath them to throw the football in front of a whole bunch of people, right? If Tennessee wouldn't have taken or doesn't take him, I guess it's still there. Man, I don't know what they're doing down in Tennessee. So if he turns out to be a bust, like we've seen, right, there's no guarantees, that's for sure. But he's the obvious number one choice to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think when you just look at the quarterbacks that they have drafted in recent years, Malik Willis, Will Levis, certainly not first-round draft material and fell into the later rounds, Will Levis in the second round. You look at Malik Willis, a third round, fourth round draft pick. They haven't panned out. When you're sitting in terms of the number one overall spot, even though you could get draft collateral, if you miss on a marquee quarterback, your team and your fan base will bash you, right? You'll never recover from that potential, right? You could trade out and maybe get defensive help and maybe depth at other positions. But if you miss on that franchise guy, that could be the face of the franchise for the next 3 to 5 seasons and makes another team, just the way Jaden Daniels made Washington a contender, your fan base will bash you. You'll never recover. So I think for Tennessee, it is the clear option. Cam Ward is number one. For the other teams, Cleveland and the New York Giants, sitting at number two and number three, respectively, I think they're still in the market for a quarterback, whether that be Shedeur Sanders or whoever they value, to potentially trade out of the number two and number three hole when both of these organizations are in clear need of a franchise quarterback. I don't know if that's the right move for both of those teams in 2025.
Yeah, listen, Joe, if the Cleveland Browns go into next year thinking Deshaun Watson is the answer, and I know he's going to be hurt anyway, so even if they did, he's going to miss almost half the season from what they're saying. I mean, it's silly to go in. You're going to get yourself fired. It's as simple as that. So if you draft Sanders and he doesn't work out, you're probably going to get fired as well, but I'd rather go to the well with a new face, get to maybe 500, sell the franchise's owners on, hey, listen, the future is there, just, keep us together. Versus going back to Deshaun Sanders, they tried, they failed. It was a miserable miss, no two ways about it. I wouldn't even have him on my roster. I would have gotten rid of him somehow, some way. I don't care what the salary cap implications were. He would not have been on my roster because I just want to move away from that as far as possible. So, but okay, they're going to keep him there. But if they don't draft Sanders, And even if they trade out and get a whole bunch of picks, it's not for what? It means to have a backup quarterback be your starter until you think Sanders is ready to play or Watson's ready to play, I'm sorry, and have him be as bad as he's been for 2.5 years right. with them? He's got to go number two. Sanders has got to go number two to the Browns. And then the Giants will be kicking themselves because they won that dopey, meaningless game against the Indianapolis Colts with 2 weeks left, but they could have had the number one overall pick. It was right. dumb when they won, and here we are 3 months later, and it's even dumber.
No, I agree in with that respect to that, especially if you're Cleveland. Now, I want to take another approach, though. Do you feel the Browns, forget what they do in the next month, can they win with Kenny Pickett, and can the Giants win potentially with Jameis Winston at the helm? Because if the answer is no, then all they're doing is basically pushing off till next year with the hope that maybe, just maybe, a marquee or a franchise guy will be in the draft, and then you're just hoping and pushing off potential success another 2 or 3 years down the road. I mean, I don't understand why a lot of these teams have taken that type of approach, and I'll throw the Pittsburgh Steelers in there as well. They swung and missed with Kenny Pickett a couple of years ago. It didn't work out. It didn't work out with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and now they're hoping on yet again another free agent guy and potentially Aaron Rodgers to be the savior of that organization. You could look at all three of those teams right now and say, if they don't get it right this year, they might not get it right for the next 3 or 4 seasons moving forward.
Yeah. And what stud quarterback, you know, are they thinking they're going to get? Manning? You think that he wasn't that great last year when he played at Texas to make me think, okay, he's going to be, you know, like his grandfather and his uncles and everything else, right? So, no. And not to mention, both regimes, whether it's Cleveland with Berry and Stefanski and with the Giants with Shane and Dable, both those guys more than likely are going to be gone, Joe. So you could look towards next year, but you're not going to be there. So you got to win now. I have more faith in Rodgers in Pittsburgh, if that's where he goes, than Winston with the Giants. And then Kenny Pickett with the Browns would be at the bottom of the list. He stinks. He's not winning any games with Cleveland.
Are you shocked that Aaron Rodgers went into the organization and the facility this past weekend and walked out without a deal? Are you shocked that more on the end of Pittsburgh not giving him an ultimatum saying take it or leave it? You walk out that door, don't ever come back. This is the price. This is what we want. You're in our facility. Sign on the dotted line or we have to move on.
Not really. I mean, I know that's generally how it's done, but you know, I could see a guy wanting to visit a couple of places. He's got a couple of options. Apparently he saw, okay, you give me your sales pitch. Okay. Now let me give it, you know, give me a week or two, or maybe not that long, but a couple of days anyway to, you know, digest this and make my decision. Unless they were going to overwhelmingly say, all right, here's your $40 million. And I don't think they're giving him $40 million. I think all these teams are lowballing him, and that's really where he's got to make his decision. But I wouldn't take away as like, no, that's definitely a closed door. He's not going to sign there.
If Pittsburgh doesn't get Rodgers, would they go back to Russell Wilson, or are they going to roll the dice with Mason Rudolph, the other quarterback that took him to a playoff appearance a couple of years ago with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, nah, they're not going back to Mason. It's got to be Russell. It has to be, right? I mean,
I don't like that at all.
Listen, he was bad, or they were bad, you know, the last 5 weeks of the season, right? No two ways about it. But up until that point, you know, they were okay. So second year there, you know, you got to figure that's going to help the situation just a little bit more. They did go get, you know, his buddy. So that's going to help the wide receiver position. So I would – that's – out of all the secondary moves, I think Pittsburgh is in the best position, you know, versus the Giants from Rodgers to Winston or, you know, whoever else it may be. I think they got the best backup.
If they swing and miss, Scott, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they go potentially with, let's just say, Russ yet again, and knowing that you have to compete with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and all elite quarterbacks, even though they haven't won Super Bowls, they're still what you call in the top echelon of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Right. You're putting, if you're not competitive this year, then it's basically a complete rebuild in 2026. And Mike Tomlin might be, not be the coach on the sidelines at that point, because all the winning seasons are great, but you have to elevate and you have to progress year after year. It's just not good enough in Pittsburgh to get to a wild card or get to a first round playoff game and lose.
Yeah, well, listen, that's the thing. You know, that record of how many years in a row of having a winning season is all fine and dandy, but you get somewhere along the line, you got to bottom out and get a top five pick or make a blockbuster trade. Go for a Jackson Dart, and hopefully you hit a home run where no one else thinks he's a great player.
We'll see. NFL draft just about a month away when Scott and I return. We'll talk about the NFC. J.J. McCarthy hasn't been told he's the starting quarterback this year. Coming right back on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Lisi and Wetzel talking about the NFL. We left off talking about the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. Will it be Aaron Rodgers? Will it in fact be potentially Russell Wilson at the start of this season? Only time will tell. NFL draft on the horizon, April 24th from Green Bay. We'll have you covered right here on the grid. But Scott, I left off talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and J.J. McCarthy's come out and said that the team hasn't informed him that he is in fact quarterback one entering this year. It's leaving up some maybe, you know, skepticism and maybe a little potential quarterback battle. I don't think it's all that bad considering J.J. McCarthy only had one preseason game under his belt to just solidify him as the incumbent starter, especially knowing that Sam Darnold elevated that team at least to a playoff appearance and a 14-win season. I still think J.J. McCarthy has to compete for this starting job, and we'll see if he can win out.
Yeah, if memory serves me right, Joe, they did this last year too. Like, they were one of the few teams, again, if memory serves me right, that did not say, okay, automatically you're our guy, who realistically, you know, had a shot at Penix Jr. wasn't going to beat out Kirk Cousins. So this is just kind of the same thing they'd done last year. Now, they don't have anyone else on their roster. You know, they had Danny Nichols, but they let him walk to Indianapolis, so he chose the Colts over the Vikings. I mean, I would think it would be his job to lose, but, you know, I hope he doesn't take offense to the fact that, you know, he's been in the NFL for 5 minutes. He hasn't taken one NFL real snap, and he thinks all of a sudden he should be the guy. You know, he should be happy that they got rid of, or didn't re-sign anyway, you know, Sam Darnold. It should be your job. Why do you need the absolute okay, it is your job to think that it is?
Yeah, it is a little interesting. I don't know, based off of last year, and McCarthy was good in his senior season, obviously taking Michigan to a national championship, stepped up in the semifinal playoff win over Alabama with a big performance. But when you just think about marquee quarterbacks and you think about elevating your game to another level, even coming out of college, J.J. McCarthy wasn't that guy, right? It wasn't like we were putting J.J. McCarthy on the same level as Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow or even Jalen Hurts coming out of college, right? He had a lot of question marks to answer. Was he more of a game manager as opposed to an elite quarterback? And that's what at least we had entering last season. Now, he performed well, but it also helps too, Scott, when you have the league's best wide receiver or one of the best in Justin Jefferson, a pure number two in Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Aaron Jones for that lineup, really takes the pressure off of J.J. McCarthy. The question I want to ask you, though, is entering this year and based off of what you saw last year, where they lost to the Rams and they lost to Detroit, do you feel like J.J. could be a detriment, or are you willing to bet on them as potentially a dark horse to challenge for an NFC championship in 2025?
Well, it's an upside, yeah, right? I mean, and the odds are reflective. Like, the boys in Vegas clearly don't think this Vikings team is any good. They're at the bottom of the barrel of most of these things, right? Last in the division even. So they don't think they're going to get him. But could he? Maybe. Did I believe in him in college? No. So if I didn't believe him in college, I'm not going to believe him in the NFL. Now coming off an injury, you know, at least it wasn't an arm injury. I get that. But I'm not a big J.J. McCarthy guy. He'll be the starting quarterback. No two ways about that. I mean, that would be a colossal failure, not re-signing Darnold if he's not, right? So, but is he going to be as good? No, well, you know, it sounds crazy to say, Joe, but you know, you got to give Darnold just a little bit of credit. You know, I mean, there are a lot of teams that have good wide receivers and everything, but they don't win. So it's not necessarily that. So give Darnold some credit that he did help them. And to automatically assume that McCarthy's going to be just as good, I wouldn't go down that road.
No, and I think when we look at the NFC North odds, you have Detroit, right, the front runner, plus 105. You have Green Bay right there with Jordan Love, plus 250, and Matt LaFleur. You have Ben Johnson, everybody's All-American with Caleb Williams. Just give them the NFC North right now. All they needed was Ben Johnson to walk off the side. Do you believe that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, and I know they solidified the offensive line, 5-1, and O'Connell, who was basically, for much of the regular season, right, a coach of the year, Kennedy, he was the guy. You're telling me with J.J. McCarthy that they deserve to be behind Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson that hasn't even coached a game as the guy in the NFL? We're going to put them behind the Chicago Bears to start the year? You think that's justified?
I think it is. And I'm not a Ben Johnson guy either. I'm not either. Listen, I told you, he was with the Dolphins. He was a nobody. You know, he gets to go to Detroit. And again, knock on wood. Great job. Everyone all got kind of won. Aaron Glenn gets a head coaching job. He gets a head coaching job, you know, because they turned around a moribund a franchise, right? So, but is he the greatest thing in the world? Does he have a track record of doing this? No. But who figures to be better? First year, in essence, J.J. McCarthy, or second year, Caleb Williams? You know, you can't base what's going to happen next season on what the Bears did this past year, Joe. You know he's going to get better, right, Caleb Williams?
Is he? I don't know.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be better second year. Heck, Bryce Young was better second year than he was first year. As bad as he was first year, it's hard not to be. But, I mean, he turned into a real quarterback the last four or five games.
Here's the problem that I have. There are times that Caleb Williams tries to take games over and make the most ridiculous plays that we have ever seen, right? You know, he looks like he's basically playing in a street yard and, you know, street ball as opposed to playing in the NFL. When the protection breaks down, Caleb Williams looks like a deer in the headlights at particular time. We're not talking about Jaden Daniels. That looks calm, collected, knows where he wants to go with the football. If it's not there, he tucks it and runs. And in terms of that capacity, Caleb Williams makes some stupid plays. He did it in college. He was a deer in the headlights when he lost that game to Notre Dame, 3 interceptions. And I've seen the same translate to the NFL. Now, you want to put that on Eberflus and all of the offensive staff, Waldron and everybody else that they had there? That's fine. But Ben Johnson expecting this team to bounce back and be the Detroit Lions because good old Ben Johnson is there. No way. We'll come back, Scotty, because I know you have a lot to say about this. Breaking down the NFC North right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, continuing the conversation, we left off talking about the NFC North. I bash Ben Johnson as everybody's All-American, the savior in Chicago. I'm not so sure that Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears are going to be a front runner or even challenge for a wild card spot. That being said, Scott, if I had a bet right now in terms of early March, late March into April, I would bet on the Green Bay Packers to rebound. Plus 250, I think you're getting a good price. And secondly, I'm not so sure now with Detroit, minus Ben Johnson, minus Aaron Glenn, offensive and defensive coordinators, that they're going to find continuity early. We saw Philadelphia struggle at the end of the regular season when they lost both Gannon and their offensive coordinator to the Colts in Arizona. Might not be an easy ride for Dan Campbell and the crew this year.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't talk out of both ends. Which one is it? Now, is Ben Johnson great, so the Lions are going to miss him, or is he a bum and the Bears won't really get any, you know, impetus from him? So pick your point. Which one? I mean, you can't say he's no good for the Bears, and then tell me the Lions are going to miss him, and it really hurts the team.
No, but wait a second. They can miss him, but who's to say that it's one-year success, that all of a sudden he comes in Chicago, and all of a sudden they're a 9 or a 10-win football team? Because basically that's what the market is telling you, right? They were a 7.5, 8-win football team with Matt Eberflus. Now when everybody's All-American, they're potentially picked as one of the front runners or at least a wild card team entering this year, especially with the off-field moves to the offensive line, Tooney and everybody else that they added. So they're not going to be a 6.5, 7.5-win total. They're going to be in the area of 8.5, 9.
Yeah, and I think they go over, and I think the Lions will be able to replace him and Aaron Glenn. You know, I don't listen. Coaches, yes, make a difference. I get that, but when you have as much talent as Detroit has, it shouldn't make that big a deal. As long as you're not hiring a boob, you know, as long as the philosophy remains the same, then you know the guys like the player. And I think they hired at least one of the two positions was team. You know, coaches on their staff already.
Right.
So
passing
I don't think the Lions are
going to
miss. Yeah, Pat, right. So I don't think the Lions are going to miss a beat. If the Lions aren't any good, it's not because Ben Johnson. I almost hope the Lions are good. This way people won't be saying, oh, see, Ben Johnson is the greatest thing in the world, right? I can hear that already. I'd hate to think the Lions' window has already been shut after really just 2 years. So I think they're the head and shoulders best team in that division. I think they're better than Green Bay. I have my doubts about Green Bay and Jordan Love. Let's see if he can take that next step. And I think the Bears say, you know, I'd be more surprised if the Bears, I'd be more surprised if the Packers finished in first than I would the Bears finishing in second over Green Bay.
All right. You know, I can understand that. I think a team that when DK was on the market, I expected Green Bay to potentially be in that market for DK Metcalf just because of how, you know, he plays. He's a great run blocker. The addition of Josh Jacobs in that offense last year. You want to have a big playmaker on the outside that could open up things for potentially Jaden Reed and all the secondary options for Jordan Love. A key concern for the Pack this year is Jordan Love's health. He had a number of different injuries last year, right? The hip, the ankle, yep. The groin, you name it. You know, he dealt with it, especially towards the end of the regular season. But I still believe in Matt LaFleur as being a very good coach, underrated coach. Now, I didn't like the way he coached in terms of the matchup against Philadelphia. I'm not going to give him credit for that. I thought the game plan was too one-dimensional with Josh Jacobs. But that being said, you're talking about a coach that has elevated this team to at least be a playoff contender year after year. When you look at some of the other teams, I mean, Detroit right now, Scott, is a plus 490 price right behind the Eagles to win the NFC Championship. I mean, we're just expecting Jared Goff and that team to not miss a beat. I can't bet that number right now. I can't bet San Francisco either for the same concern. It's a little bit different, right? I mean, I have concerns about San Fran from the player side. Is Ayuk going to come back 100%? Is Christian McCaffrey going to come back 100%? What does that team look like? Can you count on those players? But the same concern that I have for San Francisco on the player side, I do have for Detroit on the coaching side.
Yeah, you do. But really, it's a battle of attrition in the NFC. You have to pick somebody, right? I mean, it's kind of like figuring out a winner in the American League East in baseball or American League in baseball. No teams are any good. They're all mediocre. They all have issues. Right. You said it with San Fran. Are the Rams really going to kind of continue on their path upward? I kind of doubt that. So you got to pick somebody, though, Joe.
Right, but you like value, Scott, and I would much rather have that double-digit underdog as opposed to a front runner at plus a plus 490 price. More NFC Championship odds coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, back on Football Full Circle, breaking down NFC Championship odds. I just want to get your take, Scott. I mean, do you disagree taking a shot on a double-digit you know, dog or a team like Green Bay at 11 to 1 or the Rams at 10 to 1 as opposed to reaching up and getting the Detroit Lions at plus 490? I mean, wouldn't you want to take a wait-and-see approach to see the first month of the regular season for Detroit? What if they start 2-2? That 490 price is going to grow to potentially 6 or 7 to 1.
Yeah, I don't know if it would grow that high. And if I was going to take a flyer, I'd probably take a flyer on Washington, you know, at 9 to 1. But Green Bay 11 to 1,
good price. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely better price, right? And that's the price I think could go down a little bit if things continue the way they went last year for them. I don't think things are going to fall apart for the Lions, though. You know, it would take two to tango. They would have to come back, start 2-2, and then you would need a Lions or a Rams or a Packers, Bears, you know, to go 4-0 for them to really start to think, okay, maybe the 1-2 is not Philadelphia, Detroit. Maybe it's Philadelphia and somebody else.
Let's look at the AFC for a second, right? Because it looked like last year at the start that it was a number of different teams to potentially challenge for a playoff spot. Teams like Miami and teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, and right, they showed glimpses and obviously key injuries and a slow start knocked both of those teams out of the playoff mix. But you look at Cincinnati this year after Higgins and Chase got signed, 9 to 1, the Miami Dolphins at 22 to 1. Is there anybody outside the top three, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and I'll throw in Cincinnati, that you would take a flyer on to potentially challenge for an AFC championship to unseat the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, if you just want to take flyers, and when you take flyers, Joe, you take, okay, upside of this team. But it might not be there right now, but the upside is through the roof, right? And I don't personally believe this, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't bet it. You know, as dumb as that may sound.
Who needs belief? I would say, just bet
who
it.
Needs belief? I got a one click of the button here. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Aaron Rodgers coming to town. He's going to be the savior. Fountain of youth. He's going to go live in the mountains for a few months and get back whatever he didn't have these last two seasons. They got wide receivers. They got weapons. They got a good defense. He doesn't have to score 30 points a game. I mean, if he signs there, you know, it does kind of fit what he needs to be successful. Put 20 points on the board, you know, then rely on the defense. Don't have to throw for 300 yards. Don't have to throw for 30 touchdowns. So Pittsburgh, you know, if you're going to eliminate all four of those teams, you know, then the next rung of clubs would be, you know, to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you really want a flyer, I think Denver's going to come back to the pack. They were helped last year, you know, great, you know, but they won a lot of close games, second year quarterback. I think they're going to come back to the pack. So Pittsburgh would be the one.
Isn't that what Aaron Rodgers had with the New York Jets? Scored 20 points.
He did.
Rely on your defense.
Yeah.
And, yes. And five wins, baby. Five wins. We're taking home.
Yeah, but that's the Jets, though. You know, he's going to right. It's the antithesis of the Jets, the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the worst organizations in football, one of the worst coaching staffs, worst front offices to one of the best. So right. That's why I do it. You know, listen, I hate spending other people's money, right? You know, but you would think Aaron Rodgers at this point has enough money. You would think his situation would be, if I'm going to come back, it's because I want to win. I still have the drive to win a Super Bowl. I don't care about, you know, more money, $5 million, even $10 million more dollars if I play for the Giants, right? I mean, so I don't know why he wouldn't go to Pittsburgh unless he's, you know, really just contemplating retiring. But that would be the place
possible. For me. It's possible, Scott. I'll just say this. When you look at this lineup and you look at the odds for the AFC, obviously, if we're talking top four, my money would be on Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, because I do believe in the offense. You know what you're going to get time in and time out. You're anywhere from, you know, 20 to 24 points at least per game with that type of offense, right? Chase Brown, you know, really emerged as the starting running back, really came on before he got hurt. I can't put money on Justin Herbert in L.A. Just can't do it just this yet. I still think they have wide receiver problems. They re-signed Mike Williams, which was absolutely ridiculous, to get Najee Harris. What's the offensive identity for L.A.? That's the biggest problem. Are they more of a ground and pound, much like they were in the start of the year, or do they want to open it up and get into shootouts with the likes of potentially Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Pat Mahomes? I'm not sure. So, again, has Jim Harbaugh done a great job? Absolutely in 1 year. I just don't know if they have the surrounding pieces from an offensive perspective to really challenge some of these teams. I know Ladd McConkey's great, but outside of that, they don't have a pure number one. Quentin Johnson, he might as well have cinder blocks on his hands because the guy can't catch for anything, right? They lose Josh Palmer. Disley's a good tight end. He's certainly not an elite tight end like Brock Bowers, a young up-and-comer that could be potentially a Hall of Famer. The team that I'm intrigued in, and I know, from an off-field perspective, what they did with Laramie Tunsil, allowing him to move on, is the Houston Texans. Stephon Diggs is supposedly ahead of schedule from the ACL. Do they re-sign him? Does he come back? But I still believe in C.J. Stroud. They get rid of Bobby Slowick. I like D'Amico Ryans as a coach. They didn't play all that bad against Kansas City on the road, Scott. They, for much of that game, from a defensive perspective, they were sacking Pat Mahomes. They were bringing the game to the Kansas City Chiefs, potentially offensively and defensively. And if they were maybe 100% healthy, if they did have Tank Dell in that game, in that playoff loss, maybe they could have elevated and knocked off the Chiefs. But at 16-1 in year number three, I like C.J. Stroud's chances in terms of the AFC South.
Yeah, in a division which, barring something crazy, they're probably going to win, right? So you got a chance to, have a home game in the first round of the playoffs and go from there. So you're right, little step back. But if that was a step back, going to the postseason, winning your division and going toe-to-toe with the AFC champs, that's not a bad step back, right? I mean, I think we all thought that maybe we'd get a little bit better, but that's not a bad status quo. So I like that. I do. I tell you, I will say this, though, with Houston and with the Chargers, what's disappointing if I'm a fan of those two teams, Joe, is that there were wide receivers out there that could have helped them. I mean, we saw Davante Adams sign. We saw DK Metcalf get traded. I mean, there were guys, now we've seen Diggs, and maybe he's got to prove he's healthy before a team signs him. But we've had guys, good, name wide receivers be out there. Debo Samuel getting traded. Another guy that could have helped those two teams, and they didn't make any moves.
Right, and that's the question that I have for Jim Harbaugh. What is going to be the offensive identity? You have an above-average quarterback in Justin Herbert that really, yes, is more of a compiler, you can say, at this point in his career when the chips are in the middle of the table in a playoff type of situation. He's 0-2 right now. Until Justin Herbert wins a playoff game, he has to get that monkey off his back. Until that, happens, you can't buy in to this team elevating to the next level. And when you just look at it, just, apples to apples, you can't rely on Ladd McConkey each and every week. And I know the guy gets open, and I know the guy potentially could be the next, second coming of that slot wide receiver, the Wes Welker types, right? And even what we saw, Cooper Kupp. But you need a pure number one on the outside. You can't have a guy in Quentin Johnson that can run maybe a 4.3, 4.4, 40, but can't catch. You're not threatening any secondaries in the AFC that way.
Yeah. Well, they got to address that in the draft, right? They should be in a position.
But now you're relying on a rookie, though, Scotty, right? Isn't that the problem?
Right. Well, it's if you're a win now, it's a little bit of a problem. But, Kansas City went to the Super Bowl with a rookie wide receiver worthy as their number one guy, right? So it can get done.
They also had a guy that did win three Super Bowls in Pat Mahomes. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, right? I understand.
Pat Mahomes helps. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFC, AFC odds right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, breaking down the AFC Championship odds. We left off talking about Jim Harbaugh and the L.A. Chargers. Justin Herbert, up until this point in his career, hasn't lived up to the playoff expectations. Potentially, they could do that this year in 2025, right now booked on FanDuel, at 13-1 to win the AFC Championship. You like the Pittsburgh Steelers at 28-1 And I'm assuming that's an Aaron Rodgers or bust, right? If Aaron's not there, Scott, and it's Russell Wilson, you're still pulling the trigger on the 28-1?
No. This is definitely an Aaron Rodgers. Not that I really, really believe in Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, if everything fell the right way, it would be an Aaron Rodgers bet or nothing. Otherwise, I could see really Pittsburgh coming way back to the pack, to tell you the truth.
What about this? What about the two teams in the 30s in terms of the AFC South? We talked about how potentially dominant Houston could be with C.J. Stroud in year number three. Jacksonville with a first-year head coach and Liam Cohen trying to resurrect Trevor Lawrence and that offense right now. They're at 30-1. And Indianapolis at 38-1, some young talent. You have AR. He's potentially in a quarterback battle. Is it with Daniel Jones? Only time will tell, but 38-1 and 30-1 on both the Jags and Colts, respectively.
Well, I would definitely take the Jaguars over the Colts. I don't know what we're going to get out of the Colts. I really don't. I thought you were going to include the New England Patriots. They didn't make that many moves this offseason that would make you think. No, but again, you got to go from, okay, did Drake May show you a little something last year? Yeah, you know, he wasn't great, but he showed you a little something where it's like, okay, can he get better the second year? You would think so. I think the Jets are going to be horrible. I think the Dolphins are, you know, our Dolphins are going to, who knows what they're going to get out of the Dolphins, right? Bills will obviously be good. But, you know, if they improve, they played a little better second half of the season. Did it beat Cincinnati, if you remember, way back when, the beginning of the year? You know, if the progression of guys getting better, they're a young team, you know, maybe the Patriots a little flyer at 34-1. But Jacksonville would be the main team.
All right, let's go through this. You ready? Let's take the roster right now, as is, for the New England Patriots, okay?
All right.
Drake May, you got Josh Dobbs behind him. You might have the journeyman, okay?
Yeah.
Better not hope anything happens to Drake May. And then the third stringer, Joe Milton, has been potentially rumored with the Dallas Cowboys over the past week or so that there's rumblings that the Dallas Cowboys might be interested. Is that a draft day type of trade? Only time will tell. Old man Ramondre Stevenson, as much as and as productive as Ramondre Stevenson is for that offense, we're making it sound like he's Derrick Henry back there or Saquon Barkley. The guy is not that good. He's a plotter. The guy does get 60 to 80 yards a game, but that's because they feed him 100 times because they can't do anything else. DeMario Douglas, Kayshon Booty, Kendrick Bourne. You're telling me, Scott, Jalen Polk, all these guys, this is your team to compete, especially in the AFC East, with the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins? You're banking on this team with Mike Vrabel that couldn't get it done in Tennessee that at least had Derrick Henry?
Well, I forgot about Hunter Henry, too. A big-time tight end.
Oh, come on, the tight end. All right, yeah. Is he Brock Bowers? Is he Brock Bowers, Hunter Henry? You know he's not. You're making it sound like it's Brock Bowers out there.
No, he's not even, Mike Gesicki for the Bengals, former Dolphin guy. But you bring in major upgrade, you know, in the head coaching position.
Right.
You're not going to have been, you know, games 35-30, you know, with Vrabel. You know that. So, you know, can Drake May and company get you 20 to 24 points a game? That's, you know, if they can, they're going to win a bunch of games. I wasn't a big Drake May fan at, North Carolina. I wasn't, you know, typical North Carolina. But he showed a little something. Like, he wasn't horrible last year. So,
if you make progress,
okay.
Do we have a schedule up? Let's see their schedule. Because now you're talking. What do you think the win total is for New England this year?
6.5.
Okay. Are you taking the under or the over?
I'll take the over.
All right.
I'll take the
okay.
over.
All right.
Last place schedule. Go ahead.
Last place schedule. Here we go. Baltimore. At Buffalo,
Plus.
Cincinnati, at Miami Plus. To start the year. All right, this is who they have to play. Ready? No order. Okay. They don't have it, obviously. Ready? So I'll start out. All right, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Miami, Buffalo, Miami, Jets, Cleveland. There's a win. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Carolina, no gimme. Las Vegas, there's a win. Giants, we'll give them that. There's three. Saints, you're up to four. Jets, you're at five. Tampa Bay and Tennessee. Six wins, Scotty.
So, that's 10 games that they could win. Not saying they're going to win them all.
10 games? Where?
Yeah, well, you only counted the Jets once. You got two games with the Jets.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a home game against the Dolphins. That's a winnable game. You could win against the Saints. You could win against Tampa Bay. You could win against – there were 10 games there that you rattled off. It was only the first two that they couldn't possibly win.
All right, let's go through it again. I'll go through it slowly. Baltimore.
No.
Buffalo. At Buffalo.
No. Okay. No.
Cincinnati.
No.
Miami.
A little faster. No.
Buffalo.
No.
All right. Do we have a win yet?
Not yet.
All right. Yet. Miami.
No.
Jets.
Possible. One.
There's one.
Right.
Cleveland.
Possible. Two.
Two. Pittsburgh. At home.
Possible, especially if it's
really?
Not Aaron Rodgers.
Would Aaron Rodgers become everybody's possible. Why don't we give them a 16-0, 17-0 record? Possible. No way. We're coming back with this. We're coming back with the New England Patriots, potentially AFC East contenders. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, we're back wrapping it up. An hour flies by when Scotty and I are breaking down the odds for the AFC. We left off talking about his New England Patriots. Now, let's not forget, Scotty's a potential homer. He's a Dolphin fan, but he's also a Boston guy. Likes to bet on New England and Boston every opportunity he gets. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but you heard out and saw the schedule. We rattled off seven teams, and you finally got to a win when they played the New York Jets and then Cleveland Browns. Granted, Carolina's on there. Las Vegas is on there. But Carolina's going to be much better now with Bryce Young now and Dave Canales in year number two, right? You even said it, that he's progressed, has become a better quarterback. And we saw Carolina go toe-to-toe with the Eagles and Chiefs at the end of last season. So that's no gimme for the New England Patriots. Obviously, all the teams in the AFC East. I think, let me ask you this. In terms of the AFC East, do you think there's the possibility for them to go 3-3 in the conference? Because if you think that, right, then you should bet the over. Then you have a shot at the over. If they can get three, I'm of the essence that they're at worst 0-6, potentially 2-4. Because I actually think the Jets are better with Justin Fields. You and I already had that discussion and debate. The Dolphins, you got to believe that this is the year. They still have to be much better offensively than Drake May. You can't lose one or potentially two games to Mike Vrabel. Otherwise, McDaniel will be fired, no?
Right. But they could sweep the Jets and then split, you know, win a home game against the Dolphins. I don't think realistically they're going to beat the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, you could go 3-3.
They can't challenge the Bills.
They can't. The Jets are the worst choice by a wide margin. You know, the Patriots are a third choice to win the AFC East at 7-1. The Jets are 13-1 on FanDuel.
I like that. I'm telling you this right now. I know that you and I, and you know I'm not a lover of the New York Jets, but I believe this core is very young. They got rid of the cancer and Aaron Rodgers. From a locker room perspective, I think Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, that young talent will potentially respond with, now I lost his name, Aaron Glenn, the new head coach. No, new head coach in terms of Aaron Glenn. I do believe that Aaron Glenn, with a young team, in terms of not having that veteran quarterback, now has the potential to learn and buy in earlier than what you have with Mike Vrabel in the New England Patriots. I really believe that. Only time will tell, Scott. But you want to give me double digits on the Jets? I would pull the trigger right now.
The only issue with all that is, like, there's some guys on the Jets that have been there, done that. They're a young team, yes, but this is their third regime for some of these guys. And if things fall apart and go slowly at the beginning of the year, you know, and Justin Fields stinks like we all know he does, except you. I mean, is Breece Hall really going to sit around? You know, are these guys really just going to sit around and just say, okay, you know what, we're going to go through our lumps? You know, these guys are getting a little older. Shelf life of an NFL player is not long, especially running backs. So I think this thing could really just go really ugly. If they start off 1-5, it's going to be the same old Jets. You know that. The people will be calling for Aaron Glenn's head. They're going to be calling for Justin Fields' head. This could get real ugly. I think their odds reflect that. I think they realize that. You know, they're almost twice as worse odds as the New England Patriots. As bad as the Patriots are, right, as mediocre as they are, the Jets are almost twice as bad odds-wise.
True, but you have a part of the offense right now in respect to the RPO game with Justin Fields that you didn't have last year with Aaron Rodgers or any of the other quarterbacks. You have the ability to take games over and maybe be a dominant rushing attack with Braylon Allen and Breece Hall, where last year you didn't have that option, right? If the running game wasn't there, they were predictable, and Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line broke down. That's the difference with Justin Fields, right? Justin Fields can make plays with his legs, similar to what you see Jaden Daniels. So that's an added dimension that I don't think anybody's factoring in terms of how this offense could look, right? Yes, if they start 1-5, I agree with you. It's New York. It's go big. It's go home. But now nobody's expecting this team to be good. So that's where they could catch everybody by surprise.
Yeah, I suppose. But I think the Patriots have more wins than the Jets.
All right, that's the bet I was waiting for. Well, a dinner bet, steak, me and you, whoever has more wins in this season, Jets or New England, take it to the bank. For our great producer, Danny Ohlers, and Scott Wetzel, I'm Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.